Hello, everybody, and welcome to Facebook Ads Agency Builders. We are a powerhouse community of entrepreneurs seizing the opportunity of the rapidly advancing digital marketing industry and bringing some of the best minds in the business together to have massive impact for our clients. Over the past 5 years, Tyler Narducci has been building and scaling his own digital agency, helping businesses grow and market their services and products through online advertising. Now, he's helping other startup digital agencies launch and scale rapidly to six figures with the Done For You agency program. If you are interested in taking your agency to the next level and skip all those painful mistakes most have to make by learning directly from those killing it in the digital agency space, then apply now at sobeviral.com/agency-build. That's sobeviral.com/agency-build. There will be a clickable link in the podcast show notes as well as in the About section of the Facebook group. Now, let's dive into today's episode.
All right, Kevin, thank you so much for joining me, guys. I have here Kevin Miller.
What's up?
He is based in Seattle, Washington. 27 years old.
Yep.
So 27 years old. He's a music producer, songwriter, entrepreneur, agency owner from Seattle, Washington. He's been making music for over 15 years now, which is awesome. Congrats. He always has the goal of uplifting and educating his audiences. And I've seen firsthand how helpful he's been in the Done For You agency program. He's a member of my Done For You agency program, and he is super uplifting and really motivational to the other entrepreneurs, agency owners in the program. So that's why I definitely wanted to have you on here, because I think you have a lot of insights and knowledge to share. And also, you also have just a killer story that I'm excited to talk about. So we'll start at the top. Let's talk a little bit about your agency. So what's the name of your agency?
Yeah, so my name is Kevin Marcus Miller. I run an agency called All Approach. Essentially what we do is we provide one-stop digital marketing and web design solutions, particularly to coaches and consultants and other agency owners.
Nice. And how did you end up finding that niche?
Yeah, so actually, I was going through your program, and one of the things that really stood out to me was it, as somebody who comes from a project management background, mm-hmm. I noticed that there seemed to be a really big pain point whenever I was in the group. And it seemed like all the people that were agency owners like me had the same problem. It was like, how do I actually execute? Like, it seemed like having clarity and having your projects managed and getting things actually done in the business was the big problem we were all facing. And so I realized like, oh, I seem to be better at that part. Not good at the Facebook ads part. Like when I was going through the course, I felt, oh man, I can't do Facebook ads. That's not me. So I was like, oh,
everyone
man.
Has their strengths and weaknesses.
Exactly, bro. And like, that's the big thing is like when you're being coached by people or mentored by people, don't expect like, you got to understand, like you got to do your part too. You know what I mean? You can't just like, oh, well, the part didn't work. The ad didn't work. It's like, dude, that has nothing to do with it. Like it has everything to do with your business.
I love it. So you got really good at that piece of it, right? Yep. Which is what? Break that down a little bit.
Yeah. So essentially what we do is we basically give other agency owners that clarity. So one of the things we do is we help them get their projects organized on Asana, and then we hire and recruit virtual assistants, incredible talent overseas to help manage and execute those projects. So whether that's your day-to-day lead gen tasks that you've been neglecting forever as an agency owner, like everybody's got to do outreach, right?
Yeah.
So what if you have somebody project managing the people on your team that are doing that for you? And that was the idea.
Nice. Love it. Yep. So where are you on track for revenue-wise for this year?
For this year. So what's been interesting is COVID actually kind of helped my business in a lot of ways, because I was never into marketing and networking in person. That was never my thing.
Me and either.
So, you too?
No, I hate it. I hated it. I tried some like of those like local meet your other business owners, share your business card over coffee kind of things. Oh my God, it was so cringy.
It's not the vibe.
No, it's so not the vibe.
Yeah. So basically we were able to get it to just over about 10K recurring per month.
Nice.
Our goal is to get to that 15-20K range awesome. In the next 12 months here.
Super awesome. So that's about 120K mm-hmm. for the year, which yep. is such a really great place to be and such a like pivotal step in right. in the growth of your agency, because that's like a C-level executive's salary,
right?
So you've been able to take control of your own life, your own schedule, and your own revenue, and match the salary of, you know, a high up level exec that's probably worked at a company for 5-10 years to get mm-hmm. to that point of that salary. And you've done it in about a year, right?
When exactly.
You launched your agency?
March 2020.
So that's like you did it in a year, right? Where you
right.
know, go the 9-to-5 route and try to climb that corporate ladder. It can mm-hmm. take a heck of a lot longer to hit 120K salary at that same run rate that you have with your agency right now. So that's fantastic. And
thanks,
and,
bro.
And really exciting.
It's crazy too. Like you got to think about it like this, like there's so many walls and barriers to people like you and I in corporate America, like whether, you know, being a black owned, you know, really outspoken black executive or, you know, the path that I wanted to go in corporate land, yeah. it's like, they don't really want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's also been a huge factor as to why I want to have this type of clarity and freedom in my life with my business, is because I need to say and do what I want to do.
Yeah. I haven't even heard that perspective before, and I love it. That's amazing. And just like all the more reason to just take the control yourself.
Yeah.
You know, when I left the corporate world for agency world and started my own thing, like I had just been through a series of terrible bosses and just like really toxic work environments, that just like, I literally would wake up every morning and I would just sit in my car before I would turn it on. And I was just like, why am I here? This is, there has to be more than this. Like, is this next? Cause I'm an adult now, like college is over, you know, I'm going to work. Like, this is all there is. Like, and I would just sit there and be like, like another day. And I would go to the office and I would sit at my desk, and I was able to, like, as a social media manager, like get done what they wanted me to do in
pretty
like,
quickly. Yeah.
So exactly. fast. Yeah. You're there for like 8 hours and I'm like, okay, like your posts are scheduled. I'm responding to things in real time, but I'm sitting in this chair and it's just such a waste of my time and energy. And then that void and that vacuum, I was able to start my own.
And you couldn't turn that voice down in your head either. You knew that you had more to go. Like there was more to this. You were like,
it's like screaming inside of you that like you're meant for more. Like there's so much more out there. And, and this like, at the time, this like $35,000 salary ain't it. Not it. And you had just come out of like college and spending all this money, and you're just like, this is on the other end of that. It was just no. So I'm glad, yeah, that I'm not alone in that. That there's, you know, there's other people that are hopping in. And that's why I love the program, because I meet so many other people that had a similar story to myself. So back to your agency, how many clients do you have now?
Yeah, so on the roster, about 33. And then recurring, I'd say about close to half of those are recurring.
That's awesome. So where does the discrepancy come in? Do you do like the 33 is calculated based off of like some one-off services that you're doing right now?
Exactly.
Active projects?
So basically 33 would be like how many we've served since we opened since March of 2020, right? So whether it was a recurring project or it was a website one-time thing.
Okay. Yeah. Cool.
And then the recurring is for our VA program where we recruit and hire VAs.
Nice. Love it. And I'm sure you have that process down pat now. So is that the main service that you're providing now?
That's the bread and butter right now. Exactly. Yeah. So it's been interesting, man, watching it evolve, because, you know, one of the big mistakes I made, and other agency owners, I'm sure I've made this mistake, is thinking like, oh, I got these dope websites. They're huge one-time fees and all this stuff, but you need recurring revenue. And so my business model at first, it wasn't it. So I switched that up real quick. And so we started up that program, and that's where that came into being.
That's awesome. And the great thing about websites is you don't have to stop offering them. Like, they can be something that's like additional, like,
exactly.
Hey, you know, we need to get you set up on this system, which is recurring for us and our revenue, right? And also is going to continue to help you stay on top of your business game so that you're, you know, getting mm-hmm. continual good results. But, you know, you also do have a really shitty website. So hey, let's get that done as well. And so you have a hefty setup fee, you have, you know, the website, and you're also getting them the VA, and like, you know, one doesn't have to negate the other.
Right. And then the other thing too is, like, for example, our team, like, we don't have anybody that does like ads, right? So the big thing here is always know what you're not good at, and then just go ahead and refer those out to people that you trust.
Yeah.
Right. Or white label it, even better.
Yeah. So, or white label it, or find someone that's good, bring them right. under your hood.
Bringing them on. Yep. Yeah. Yep. So if you get these bigger clients, right, and you know, like, they're going to need a funnel, a click funnel, and some ads or whatever, and you don't want to touch any of that, then figure it out. That's part of project managing, is being able to figure that out.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so you've had your agency for a year now. You've scaled it up to, you know, like I said, like a C-level execs revenue, yeah. Which is so awesome. Like, that's such a great thing to have been able to do in the span of a year, you know, figuring everything out in real time. What were you doing before you launched your agency?
Yeah, man. So, I graduated college in 2017.
Okay.
Yep. And then right after college, I, for the life of me, man, I could not land a job. Like, I was actually a security guard in a Microsoft building, and that was my wow. first job out of college.
Wow. See, yeah, this is what makes the story that much better, though. Like,
I know. It's scary. It's crazy. Like, when I even, like, I'll be honest with you, even just talking about it, it's like, damn, I really went through that.
Yeah. No, it's honestly, wear it as a badge of honor. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, I tell people all the time, like, where yeah. I came from and everything. You know, I was a flight attendant straight out of college. Like, I
nice.
Came out of college with my 4-year degree, and I was like, what am I going to do with this BA in psychology? I want to travel as that, and I don't know what I want yet. So I started flight attending. It was so little money that I could not pay my bill. So I was working at a bar in addition to that on the weekends in wow. between it. And I'm like hopping on some flights to the Caribbean out of Miami. I'm bartending or like in between. And I'm like, this is post-college life. This was before I had that $35,000. Yeah, this was before I had that full, like, $35,000
okay.
gig. And I'm like, God, this is it. Like, so no. And I tell people that all the time. Like, you know, the come up is so much better and so much sweeter when you've been to the other end of the spectrum.
Yes. So, you know, I'm working that, you know, I'm in the loading dock, so security guard in a Microsoft building, and my boss at the time was really cool. He let me actually have my laptop in the loading dock, so I was applying to other jobs at the same time.
Nice.
Yeah. So I finally got it right, and I finally got one at a startup, and so that's where I got my marketing chops, you know. And then worked there for, you know, a couple months, contract gig, and then got recruited to work for the big boys themselves, Microsoft. So that was a weird. Whoa, you were a security guard.
Yeah.
Now you're here and actually working here.
That's awesome.
Crazy. It was a good feeling, right? And you feel like, oh, I've arrived, right? Like, there's not people, there's not a lot of young people that look like me that were at the level I was at, right? I was the only Black marketer on my entire team.
Wow.
Yeah.
And this was what year?
This was 2019.
Get it together, Microsoft. Seriously?
Yeah, my entire like, he walked down the halls and everything, and I was the only one, man.
It's crazy that
right?
We're so far behind in diversity in a company that's so big.
Like, and you know, it, like, sure, there's, of course, there's like Black people in other departments and stuff, but you know, I was, not only was I the only one, but I was kind of like treated like the intern. And also on top of that, it was like, I'm the youngest one here and I'm the one that's not supposed to be here. That's how I was treated.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And you can tell that. Like, I remember the story, man. I'm sitting there. Boss goes out of town. She wants me to fill up her candy bowl as my job while she's out of town because she doesn't know what she wants me to do.
Oh my God.
So I'm sitting
there. Was your role? What were you hiring?
So I started out in the procurement department.
Yeah.
So basically that's
procurement of candy.
Right. And so basically procurement's people, yeah, supplies, desks, all that stuff. So I was like helping the marketing department or the procurement department, their marketing. Right. And then I decided, the gig ran out on that. I was working like with a recruiter. So I worked that gig for, throughout. And then here's where the story kind of changes a bit. So I'm unemployed at this point. Right. In between gigs, I'm about to go back to Microsoft, but I haven't got the gig yet. So I'm like, hey, I need to go get my work life balance in check, man. I'm just working crazy hours, not having any fun.
Yeah.
Go play some basketball. So I'm coming up the court. It's August 1st, 2019. And so this part of the story, I actually don't remember. It's what's told to me. So what happened is I'm coming up the court and literally I go, oh shit. And I completely collapse right there on the basketball court, full sudden cardiac arrest at 25.
Wow.
Just knocked out. Didn't wake up. Basketball coach is doing CPR 10 minutes straight, getting my oxygen to my brain. People freaking out, people calling, their wife. I remember somebody told me they called their wife, who's a nurse, and was like, yo, what do we do? What do we do? Get the AED machine. Okay, what do we do now? Right. And so the paramedics arrived just in time. If they had arrived 5 minutes later, I would have been dead.
Wow.
So basically, I'm on the way to the hospital, and they had to put me in an induced coma for about 3 days because to allow my body, my brain to heal. And so when they do that, what that means to folks that aren't aware, what that really means is that you're not out of the woods. That means that you might not wake up yourself. You could wake up like a vegetable. You could wake up, a lot of things could go wrong. So yeah. I woke up and for some reason, man, I was the same. No brain deficits, nothing. Just, that was all good. So I woke up and the first thought I had, man, was I had just wasted my entire life pretending to be somebody I didn't even want to be.
Wow. That's huge.
And that shit will give you clarity like that.
Yeah, absolutely. An incident like that. I'm fortunate that I've never had to go through something like that, but I can imagine that it'll change your perspective on a lot of things.
On a lot of things, like everything, even just little things like what you're willing to tolerate, mm-hmm. what authentic means to you, what's your vision. So basically, man, that happened. Finally got out of the hospital. I was in the hospital for about a week. And then keep in mind, I'm still unemployed. So I'm sitting there like, oh man, this is a problem. And then all these hospital bills, right? Yeah. So I came up with this plan. I said, well, what if I go back to Microsoft and get another contract gig, get some health insurance, right? Mm-hmm. Have it retrograded is what they call it. So then you get the coverage back even when you weren't employed. So I had to apply to get that coverage. So then all my hospital bills were insured.
Wow.
So I only paid a couple hundred out of pocket, and that was a huge blessing, man.
That's massive. I honestly didn't even know that the retroactive health insurance was a thing. That's
right. Crazy. So, I'm always grateful for the Microsoft for that because, despite having some negative experiences, man, that insurance is crazy good.
Yeah.
What I'm saying? So that was a huge blessing.
So what did you do at that point?
Yep. So then I went in the marketing department with the big boys. And so I was working on the holiday campaigns, project managing, whenever basically there was a price increase or a competition price match, I was like the first point of contact. So then it was my job to notify all the shareholders, the stakeholders and stuff like that, and project manage that kind of stuff. So I worked there for, I think it was September to January. And what happened is, I did really well, and they didn't really need me to continue doing what I was doing anymore. So they were going to let me go. And it just so happened my vision and my my plan was to walk away a week later.
Wow.
So it just worked out. Kind of lined up. Just lined up, man.
Yeah. So what was in the vision for next?
Yep. So when I got out of the hospital, I said, you know, one of the things I've always been afraid of doing was becoming an entrepreneur and actually taking that financial risk. So I decided like, okay, I'm going to give myself like kind of like a time frame of when I can get this done, how I'm going to get it done. So walked away January 2020. And then I was in your program. I think it was March 2020. Yeah. And then I was in the program, got a couple clients. And then I was like, okay, I can't do Facebook ads, but I can do project management and hiring VAs. And so then that became part of the equation. And that's where I was able to scale.
Nice. Awesome. So it going through, you know, everything that you went through and launching your agency and getting it up to where you're at now, what's something that you learned along the way that you could share with someone else who's just thinking about starting now, that's going to help them grow their agency?
Yeah, man, I'd say a couple of things. One of the biggest things is you stay away. Like, you know how when you're online, you see a version of people that's not really what they're living every day.
Yeah.
Right. You just all see
social media.
Right. Yeah. Glamour. Right. You're just seeing like the supercharged version, like people not really what they're doing every day. Right. You're just seeing like a couple of really dope pics and stuff like that. And try not to let that stuff get in your head.
Yeah.
Like understand, like they were in your shoes at one point and you might be feeling a little bit jealous or like you're not on track yet. You gotta start getting that stuff out of your mind. So stay away from those kind of groups at first, especially when you're starting out, because that'll detour you and make you feel like you're not getting to the goal. So try to stay away from that.
Absolutely.
I'd say the second thing is probably like the number one thing I'd say for success right now in my life is having clarity at all times.
How do you get clarity?
Two ways. The first way is I always stay in therapy. Part of my condition with my heart is basically that I can't exercise.
That must be frustrating.
Very frustrating. So you can't let out that energy. You can't get that good workout, you know? So I have to put that energy into my business and other areas of my life. Right.
Wow.
Yes. So I treat going to therapy the same way as I would have as going to the gym.
Wow.
It's that intense for me. Right. Because I have that much energy built up in my body. That's not being, exerted where it should be, right?
Yeah.
So basically what happens is anytime I sprint, play basketball, swim, you know, anything that requires a certain amount of exertion, my heart actually begins to have an irregular beat. So that's really frustrating. And I know you know that.
Yeah.
But It also helped me have extreme discipline. Like, I don't think there's a lot of people at my level of discipline, because I know for a fact at my age, a lot of people would just be like, well, just give me the drugs. I'm going to do it anyway. Right. Give me the medication. I'm just going to do it. I'm going to do it because, right. But I have a lot more to think about. I got employees, I got family, I got people I'm mentoring. So I can't just be thinking about me.
Yeah.
What I want. So,
wow. So, I mean, I think those are two really great points. Clarity is hard to come by these days. I think there's a lot of, especially in the digital world that we live in today, like there are so many shiny objects. There are so many distractions. There are so many things to pull you off course that like one of the most common things I encounter when I'm working with agency owners is like, you know, they get into a groove, they start feeling good. They're doing their lead gen or whatever. And then something distracts them, or they want to start a second project in addition to what they have going on.
Right.
And then they start, you know, letting really good progress start falling behind because they're starting a second project that they want and they think they can just handle both or three projects all at one time because they're really ambitious. You know, and, you know, I'm ambitious too, but one thing that I've learned about myself is like to achieve greatness and to achieve, you know, the true levels that you want to be at, like those really high levels, it takes full dedication to the actual task, right? Like, so if it's growing your agency, it takes full dedication to that. So like you can't like, I want to have this agency, and then I also want to be doing like some of this crypto over here. Mm. And I also want to be doing, you know, like Forex trading at the same time. And it's like, and you know, I call those people like the make money online people. And like, no shade to anyone listening that may fall into that category yourself. But I think like a good lesson is like, look in the mirror and like decide what you want to do. You know, and what you want to do isn't make money online. And it, you know, we all do want to make money, and yes, it's probably going to be online, but like find a path, stick to it for more than a few weeks, more than a few months. Right. That's the only way that you're going to actually grow. If you try and just, you know, grasp at straws at the lowest levels, then that's all you're going to get is, you know, little grasps at the lowest levels. Like, to achieve true greatness in anything, whether that's growing your agency, or if you do go that 4X path, mm-hmm. or if you do go that crypto path, you can do really great at all of those things, but pick one and get really great at it. Like, exactly. And so it's hard to find that clarity, I think, on your path and on mm-hmm. what you really want to do these days, but it's critical in going all in on what you want to do. I think you're probably a really good case study on doing that. You found a lot of clarity and you're really digging in and doing big things. What is one software, or not one, but give me some software that you absolutely could not live without?
PandaDoc. I love PandaDoc, man. It's basically, for those who don't know, essentially, if you we've all heard of like DocuSign, right? Mm-hmm. But the difference here is PandaDoc is going to let you create real proposals, as well as integrate with, for example, say you want to send a Stripe payment, you know, or a Square invoice. You can send a PandaDoc link and it's actually going to take them, have them sign throughout the whole proposal agreement, and then take them right to the invoice all from that one link.
Yeah.
Right. And that saves you so much time. Like the biggest headaches so far that take the most time are, of course, sales and onboarding and those kind of things. Once you got your fulfillment down, you know, I spend probably 2% in the fulfillment arena at this point. The big areas that I spend time are, you know, client retention, so customer satisfaction, right?
Yeah.
Making sure that the sales process is good. And just like onboarding does take a little bit of time. I like to make sure that they see me at some point during that onboarding as well.
Yeah, that's important. And it like you're at that perfect place where like you have got to that point where you're now putting your attention on those things that are the big mm-hmm. movers in your agency. So focusing on the sales is what's going to grow your agency.
Exactly.
Focusing on, you know, your client retention and making sure that they continue paying and continue signing up is what's critical to keeping that revenue flowing in. When you're just starting out, you don't have any clients, it's different.
Like, exactly. Because all you're worried about is lead gen at that point. And you're like, well, this Facebook ad didn't work or this didn't work.
Yeah.
But like once you, at this point in our agency, like we have a wait list. So it's not even, you know, like I can turn on and turn off lead gen at any point.
Right. And so now your focus has shifted, which it absolutely should. And, you know, you realize like once you get to that point and you have that many clients, it's just it's a progression of like, okay, I have to, you know, I'm losing clients. Every time I bring one in, I'm losing a client at this point because, you know, the client retention wasn't there, right? The attention to detail and things like that. And you learn those along the way. So it sounds like that's why I have you on here.
Of course, bro.
Great time. Appreciate you. All right. Besides PandaDoc, what else?
Panda. Let's see. Panda. What else? PandaDoc. I like Go High Level. Actually was. Yeah, I'm newer to it though. You've been using it a while though, right?
No. So
Really? I gotta hear this.
Go High Level. There's no shade at all for Go High Level users.
Yeah.
I know some people are like super go high fanatics. And like, I don't even, like, I'm not throwing shade at all because I'm a ClickFunnels fanatic. So like, you know, like I'll push ClickFunnels like until I'm blue in the face. But like, it's so funny. Like, I feel like Go High Level is like the CrossFit of software. Like, you know how CrossFit people are like, they're CrossFit. And like, they tell you about CrossFit. Like, they're like the vegans of like the fitness world.
The vegans. Like,
I gotta tell you that they're in CrossFit. Let me tell you all about it. It's like culty. I feel like Go High.
Oh, culty.
Oh my God. Like I have employees that I've hired that are like,
We gotta go high level.
We gotta get everything at a high level. You know, and then like every time like we'll do a task, like, you know, Go High Level does that. And I'm like, oh, like, and every time I hear it, I want to just pull my hair out. Because
do you like HubSpot though?
No, I don't like HubSpot either. I'm not a HubSpot fan at all. I like Pipedrive. I love Pipedrive. I think
Pipedrive is fantastic. I haven't even looked into that. What's the difference?
So Pipedrive is a really, really good sales CRM. It's fantastic CRM for closers who are moving deals through pipeline stages, tracking all their communications with them, and even sharing deals that they're working together on. Like, it's just a fantastic platform for it. And like, every closer that I brought on has either already known how to use Pipedrive, has heard of it, and it's easy to learn for them right away, or they all love Pipedrive. And I love Pipedrive as well. It's just, we've grown with it so much. ActiveCampaign, fantastic for email campaigns, and email blasts. I've used that for a very long time. And it's the best. I find personally that while Go High Level is fantastic and it's an amazing software, it's more of like a jack of all trades is like a master of none kind of thing. Whereas I have kind of softwares lined up that I feel are really, really great at what they do. Like ActiveCampaign is fantastic for email. Pipedrive is fantastic for a sales CRM, and they can connect really easy with Zapier.
Is it Zapier or Zapier?
I mean, it's Zapier for me. Is it Zapier?
I mean, it's Zapier for me, man. My whole life has changed.
Zapier. It's definitely Zapier.
Is it for real? Like, you've seen someone say it that way?
Yes. Everyone, what?
I've been telling that all my clients this whole time. Zapier.
I've heard many people say Zapier, and I'm always like,
Dang it. All right, well, I learned something.
But no, it's okay. Like, Zapier does zaps. Like, you set up zaps. But so I don't know. But yeah, no. So
okay.
Maybe one day I'll get on the Go High Level train.
Probably not.
But at this stage, like, I don't know. I'm pretty happy with my tech stack. Cool. All right, let's get into your sales process. What does the sales process for your agency look like?
Yeah, man. So first thing that happens, of course, some kind of outreach, right? So it might be LinkedIn, might be cold email. One of my, I think the most powerful part of the sales process, of course, is after what happens. Once the lead is in your pipeline, what happens then, right? So once you have the lead in your pipeline, I think what was like the game changer for us, 15-minute phone discovery call, where it's so low pressure, it doesn't feel like any kind of script.
Nice.
You're just talking to the person. Like, you might not even talk about what you do at all. You might just be like, yeah, man, how you doing? What's going on today?
Pre-qualifying.
Yeah, we connected. Exactly. You're just pre-qualifying. They don't really feel like you're pre-qualifying because you're not asking generic questions. You're just getting to know them. And you'll be able to tell, like, because if you're asking somebody like, okay, what do you do? Yeah, dope. That's cool. How long you been doing that? Cool. You just qualified them. You didn't have to go, how many years have you been in business? You know what I mean? So I'd stay away from doing it that way for certain type of offers, right?
Yeah.
So once you know like that they're a good fit and everything, then you should be like, yeah, man, if you want to hear about what we do and in our process, we do have a wait list right now, but I'd love to show you exactly what we do and see if it works for what you need, you know, your vision. Cool. Yeah. Let's set up a Zoom call. And then that 45-minute strategy call, right? Less focused on trying to get them to like sign up. And you're really just explaining what type of value you can bring to them. Right. And so on that call, the critical piece that changed our process was having a full PowerPoint that we go through.
Okay.
And that really was like, before I would do it just old school, but for our type of offer with the VAs and explaining how it all works and all this kind of stuff, it's so much easier for them to visualize it.
Got it.
Right. Okay. So for certain offers, offers, it makes more sense to do that old school sales call, right? Just phone.
Yeah.
For what we're doing in our offer, you know, you kind of need to see it. So they see it, we go through the PowerPoint, and, you know, as of like lately in the last 3 months, I mean, our close rate's been like 40%.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been crazy, man. And I think it's just because like, we're not really just letting anybody get on that call.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So.
Definitely. Yeah, it'll change depending on how many people are on calls with you, and then, you know, the quality of those people. And if you're pre-qualifying them in a 15 minute thing, that can definitely cut down on,
it's so awkward too. You know, this, like, it's so awkward when you get on that call and they don't know what the hell you're doing there. And they're like, why are we on this call?
No, for sure. Definitely. It's awkward. And that's why, you know, in the two call close process, I talk about the program for course members, that first call is not a sales call. It's the same as your 45 minute Zoom strategy call. Now, what I typically do and what I tell others to do within the program is phone, because they're not doing the VA strategy
offer you're
offering, which needs the visual aspect of it. And I find that when you try and ask Joe Schmo, the common public, to hop on a Zoom call, it ends in disaster because if the software is not downloaded, or they weren't expecting a Zoom call, they Zoom you from the mall and they're walking in.
Ain't nothing worse when you're, I'm good. I'm on the highway right now.
It's all
good. No, you're not all good, bro. Yeah. Get off of here.
Yeah. Like, this call is not happening on the highway. Yeah. You know, one time I actually had, this was the worst interview I've ever.
Okay, I got here now.
I interviewed it for an actual role at Sobe Viral. I interviewed this chick, and she answered the interview call, a scheduled interview time with a Zoom call. She knew it was on Zoom. It was scheduled in advance. We had been emailing, and she Zoomed me from in portrait mode in the mall with like her mask on as she's shopping. And trying to talk to me and answer questions while she's like looking at clothes. And I'm like, get out of here. Like,
whoa, that's bold, dude. What are you thinking?
I don't know. I like cut it so short. I was like, you know, Sarah.
Sorry, boo-boo.
Yeah, no, obviously we didn't bring her on, but
you got VAs too, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, we have a
nice few
now at this point doing different tasks, but your Zoom strategy call, I think, is perfect for your offer and what you're presenting. And you know, in our process, it's all about that first call being, like you said, no pressure, just getting to know one another, and really on that first call, focusing in on what they need. And where they're at, their pain points, their goals. I tell people, like, in that first call, really, they should be doing
the majority of the talking.
Exactly. You should be doing 20%, where you're, you know, listening and also asking more questions and getting to know them. And then on that second call, where you're actually giving your pitch, that's when you're going to be speaking more. And really, they're going to be asking more questions and getting them to the close. But either way, no matter, you know, your process or mine, it's the same thing happens. You have to get their pain points. You have to get their goals. You have to find out about them and get them to that, you know, that point.
Yeah. And you know this too, man, like, not every person should be signing up, even if they have money. No, that's not what you want. Like, you don't want those type of clients. That'll ruin your life.
Yes. Yeah.
Ruin your whole life.
There's bad clients.
Yes.
I could have a whole podcast episode on clients that just...
What's like an ideal client? Like, what's like the three things that you know when you're on that sales call? Like, okay, this is going to be a great client.
First, they already know, love, and trust digital marketing, whether they're doing it now or they just believe in it and have seen it. Whether they're an implementer or not, I don't want to be selling the fact that Facebook and Google Ads actually work. If I have to tell you that those things actually can work for your business, then we're still two mountains away from the mountain we actually have to climb. You know what I mean?
That's big facts.
Probably one of the biggest indicators of what's going to be a decent client. Once you're past that mountain and you have a prospect that truly believes in digital marketing, then you're on to just convincing them that you are the best operator for their digital marketing, right? And the actual person to implement it, that you're going to be the best one to do what they already believe can be done and well. So, those are things that I look for. Also, you want to find out if they're like an agency hopper. If they like three agencies in the last
six. Hugest red flag is on the discovery call if they say, yo, I hired four VAs in the past and they all failed. Do not. Stay away.
Yeah. And it's like, who trained them? Oh, I did.
I did. Okay. Were you paying them $2 an hour? Well, that's why.
Yeah.
Can't be doing that, bro. Like, you got to treat people with respect, man. Like, it's all about equitable outsourcing, right? So paying people more than what they would be able to get locally for the same type of job. Like, you got to pay people, you know, if you want them to perform and treat you with that respect.
100%. Our VAs are considered,
team members.
The same level as any of our US-based team members. Mm-hmm. They're also on calls with us, and they're an integral part of the family we have at Swoopy Viral. So I can totally relate to that. That's crucial. All right, cool. So moving on from your sales process, we'll move into your expertise, which is VA. So how can VAs help an agency?
Yeah, so there's like about five areas that we typically believe hiring virtual assistants, especially if you're going to outsource and hire in the Philippines. Mm-hmm. There's like five areas. Social media, so that includes like scheduling, right? Developing content, those kind of things. Graphic design, I've met some incredible graphic designers in the Philippines. They can also do social media content, but maybe flyers for clients, those kind of things, logos, right? Data entry, right? That kind of also falls and can cross pollinate with lead gen, right? Because you need to scrape a lot of lead information, right? Quickly. Yeah. So having a software like snob.io, there's a lot of them, right? So get a software and then delegate that to a VA to scrape leads for you and then go ahead and conduct that outreach.
Yes.
One of the other things that's really underrated is recruiting other VAs.
Wow. I've never thought about that.
Right. And so the reason why we were able to scale so quickly is because our full-time recruiter, Eliza, shout out, she's absolutely by far, like, I would never... I don't think I could have anybody compete with her, even if it was in the US, because first of all, she knows the culture better than anybody. She was a teacher in the Philippines. So she's going to know, like, okay, this person on the interview is just saying what they think we want to hear.
Right.
Right. And so if you have somebody in the Philippines recruiting for you and then having those VAs work with your clients, that ecosystem is extremely profitable, right? So imagine if, like, here's an idea for some of you out there that are running Facebook ads. Imagine if you had somebody like an account manager that was a VA, right? That you recruited and they actually knew how to run Facebook ads.
Yeah.
Right? So having account managers and having those VAs work in integral parts of your business and the fulfillment process could be really rewarding.
Yeah.
Some of the things that I would caution folks, a couple of things. My very first experience hiring a VA was a shit show.
Yeah.
Right. And it is for a lot of people.
Yeah.
You hear about it, it's like, oh my gosh, I can get somebody incredible, like for three times, you know, so much less and all that. Yo, you got to think about it like this. If you're going to go after that business model, you better be doing it for the right reasons and with the right people.
Yeah.
Do not just go in there talking about like, well, I just got a VA for $2 an hour and I got away with it. And like, dude, like that's such sucker shit, man. Like, yeah. That's not going to get you anywhere.
Quality too.
Right. You're just going to get somebody that's going to mess up your business. Right.
Yeah.
So you need to pay people fairly. Right. So what I would recommend doing is get an online jobs.ph account, a premium account. They also have a really great salary guide that'll tell you what you're supposed to be paying people based on the position. VAs are not supposed to be like jack of all trades, do everything in your business.
Yeah.
That is the worst problem people have. You know this.
Absolutely not. No, we have very specific tasks that our VAs are for. And then as new ones come about, I'll be like, oh, let's SOP this. And then
let's SOP this.
And yeah. We was SOP for everyone listening, standard operating procedure. Loom is like my favorite tool ever.
Oh, I love Loom.
Screen recorder. It's a Chrome extension. Just, you know, one click and you're recording. And I'll send, I'll record a Loom, make an SOP doc that goes through the exact process of the task and a document that has step-by-step instructions on the task as well. Send the video, send the doc. And, you know, I've been fortunate enough to have VAs that are really competent. Like they're college graduates.
Exactly. Like one of our VAs is a PhD.
Yeah, it's like
it's a whole nother level, right? Like you're getting like really top tier talent, not just people that can do basic admin, you know what
yes,
I mean?
Yes, 100%. So like they're very efficient and they know exactly what they're doing. Many of them know all of the platforms that you're already using, which is great. You can be like, I want one that, you know, has experience in PipeTribe or has already worked in, and there are a lot of them out there that have that. And so, yeah. I love it. SOPs are my friend.
SOP, baby. Yes,
all day. They help a lot. So you said client account management.
Yep. So basically, so five areas. So data entry, graphic design, social media, lead generation. That's huge. That was like the first area.
Massive.
It was like, I need to get this off my plate. I don't have time to be doing 4 hours of outreach every day.
100%. That's why we added it to the Done For Your Agency program. How to train your VA to do outreach, to do cold calling. Cause oh my God, the idea of cold calling.
I'll be honest with you, bro. I never got into the cold calling. Cause it just, one, I only did it a couple times just to see, like to test the waters. And then I ran the other direction.
Well, listen, I don't recommend that anyone do cold calling for themselves. I've never done cold calling for myself. In the course, we only teach people how to use a VA, a well-spoken English-speaking VA on how to do, how to do cold calling, because it works and it gets plenty of people booked in, but it's cringy. It's not something that I could ever do myself, but there are VAs that are amazing at it. And
for us in our business model, we choose not to do it just because it's too hard to manage that part. Right. So imagine having like, you need to have like what they call an ISA team that's qualified to train people on how to do those kind of calls.
Yeah.
And absolutely. So we chose to stay away. We chose to do just straight chat, lead gen, social media, that kind of stuff.
Yep. It's just another like cold calling VA. It's a fantastic way to get in leads. There's email outreach. There's LinkedIn outreach. Right. There's Facebook ads. There's so many ways. And there's a lot of ways you can get VAs involved to help automate the process too, that's why I love that you have lead generation on there. So quickly, you mentioned how you find your VAs.
Mm-hmm. So onlinejobs.ph has been an incredible platform, really great resources. They have a great blog as well. Basically, the idea is this. It's kind of like monster.com. So you can create an account and then you can post like 10 jobs, right? So I think it's $99 a month and then you can post 10 job posts. And so our recruiter every day is reposting those job posts, getting new applicants in the pipeline. And we're putting really detailed instructions in the job post. Hey, you know, take this English assessment, send your test score, do all these things, prepare an application package. and then email that to us. And so we have our recruiter, and then my recruiter, Eliza, also has an assistant as well. And so we're going through those applications every single day.
Love it. Love it. How do you train your VAs?
Yep. So a couple of things we use, Slack and Asana. Ooh, I love Slack.
Slack is huge.
Do you use Slack too?
Oh yeah. Every day. All day.
I feel like that's part of like our job, right? It's like being on Slack and being available.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? No, not being available. that turn notifications off your own mental health when you have to. I have so many Slack accounts. Like I have
how many channels you got, bro?
Like 7, I think, but like we have one for closers, and then I have one for account managers, and then I have one for each elite member has
You have only 7 channels?
No. 7 Slack accounts.
There's spaces.
Yeah. Spaces. Dang. Yeah, yeah. And then within the spaces, there's multiple channels. Like, so we have, a channel for every active elite member that we have within the program that has all their account managers in. So each of our clients gets their own dedicated Slack channel, because we find that client communication is just so critical to the process, and free-flowing communication helps so much in client satisfaction, customer satisfaction, that we wanted to make it way easier than email. And it's been great. So I couldn't go back. But then also, I have like 6 closers at least at any given time, and they have constant questions. I'm talking to this girl, this, I'm talking to this girl, and she wants that. Like, so it's just like, there's so much communication. So if we didn't have Slack, I probably would just combust.
Yeah, I got to give a huge shout out to JR Rivas as well. He was one of the first people that looked like me that I saw that actually did what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
Right. So he has an incredible VA program. I was also a part of that. And he gave me some great coaching and some great guidance and his blessing as well to do what I'm doing. And that's so, cool. That's another thing is like, if you're going to start doing these things, you got to learn from the OG. So, understand like from Tyler, from JR, other people who do the Slack, do the sauna, do all these things. You gotta be like, first of all, you gotta understand it like this. They were in your shoes once, so they know why you're talking to them. They understand the value that you bring to the table, and you need to be involved in their communities in a way that's adding value instead of always trying to like, I'm sure you have people in your group who are like, well, I'm just trying to get more clients and poach your group. And like that whole mentality, scarcity mindset is what kills the business.
Yes.
100%. You know what I'm saying? And so like, I just wanted to give a huge shout out because, he did teach me a lot of those strategies in regards to VAs, and he's part of the reason why I'm here today.
1000%. I get people ask me all the time. They're like, well, I don't get it. If you have an agency, why are you helping?
Right, exactly. Why the hell are you helping at other agencies, man?
Why would you help them start an agency? And I'm like, because Sobe Viral has not even, like, there are hundreds of millions of businesses out there. Like, First off, we don't have that capacity, nor do I ever want to have that capacity. And so it's just like, it's a crazy question. It's a scarcity mindset issue. Like, how could you ever want to help someone within the same field as you? Because there is enough for everyone to eat.
Right. And other thing is, the strategy here is if you help the right person, they're going to turn around and become your best referral partner.
Yeah.
And then you're going to be able to scale to another level in your business that you wouldn't have been able to.
100%. Yeah. So. I mean, I have so many partners now for Sobe Viral that are critical to our success, from the white label contractors to our sales recruitment and training team, like just so many partners. And that's what makes it all succeed. Last question for you. Yep. What's the number one piece of advice you would give to someone right now who is just starting their agency?
Biggest thing you're experiencing right now is fear. Fear is just false evidence appearing real. Wow. Has absolutely nothing to do with reality. Because if I can wake up out of an induced coma, having a sudden cardiac arrest, fully dying medically, and go after my dreams, despite the amount of fear and trauma that I was experiencing, there's really no reason why you can't.
100%.
There just isn't. Sorry.
Love it. Love it. There is zero excuses for inaction. And now that you've heard this episode of the FAAB podcast, there's even less for inaction. So, Kevin, thank you so much for being on this episode. I think there was a ton of value you just dropped, and I'm already excited to post it.
Appreciate you so much, man. Thank you so much for having me.